Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. I am your host, Garrett. It is May 20th. I am joined by Brad and Wade.
Hello.
It sounded like you weren't completely sure if you were Garrett.
I was debating what persona I wanted to be. You know, the voices in my head were fighting for dominance.
Right, which one took over tonight?
Yeah, that's correct. it was entertaining in my brain. Sorry you weren't privileged to it.
No, that's quite all right, actually.
You lopped out?
Yeah, yeah.
That's fair.
There are some things that just should not be known.
Agreed.
How you been?
I'm fantastic. I am looking forward to one more day of work and a four-day weekend.
Oh, did you do that again?
I did.
Oh, jeez.
So if you need anything on Friday, don't call me. And you shouldn't be anywhere Monday either, so we should be fine.
Yeah, so does anybody else get to take a long weekend? Or do you call dibs?
No, David and I are both taking long weekends. Oh, okay. Along with about 24 other people in the company.
So half the company shut down.
Pretty much. Nice. Yeah. It's going to be a quiet Friday
shipping
in the
and
office.
Receiving, design.
Yeah.
Basically, the half that you need.
Yeah. Customer service, they'll all be gone.
Nice.
Yeah. So it'll be, I don't even care. It'll be quiet in the office, which is fine.
Maybe those that are left behind will actually get stuff done.
Please, those that left behind are going to take advantage of the quiet.
And actually get something done.
What I always did.
Hey, is the new game room up and running yet?
The foosball table is in place. The TV is mounted and I believe service has been cabled to it. And that's as far as it's gone.
No, that'll be enough. We know what those that are left behind will be doing on Friday.
Yes. Plus, nice. We've got a TV in the lunchroom that has been cabled to DirecTV. And
talk about spoiled.
The TV in the lobby has been cabled to DirecTV.
So when the phones don't get answered, I know what's going on.
Yep.
Usually the world's blankiest blank is going on.
Yeah, you know, when the World Cup is on again, then I'll be taking frequent paces over to a TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they test the heart monitors.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
so what's
part
been
of the
going
test
on?
Procedure.
How was the weekend?
What's up?
What's been going on? How was the weekend?
The weekend was actually pretty good. Not a lazy weekend this weekend.
No.
No. It was a packing, cleaning, busy weekend. You know, spring, I suppose it's still spring. Spring cleaning, getting rid of crap, packing. I finally started on the pool prep. That's a painful process, you know, trying to get everything cleaned out and the chemicals balanced. And
yes.
I say painful. That's not fair. It's a time-consuming process.
Don't use a pool or a bike pump. You don't do it by hand. You're supposed to use an air compressor for that.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
That's where
really
I was
helps.
Going wrong.
What do you need
it's not an inflatable pool.
That's what I was going for, the inflatable.
Yeah, it's not an inflatable pool.
I'm just
pool.
Messing around.
Wait, how does an air compressor come into this picture? I'm not following the
it's okay.
train of thought here.
We know
it's
you
not
overheat.
An inflatable pool.
Very good.
Yes. So that's pretty much, we had a little more of a lazy Sunday, but yeah, apart from that, you know, yard work, housework, all that good stuff.
All the fun times.
Oh, yeah.
Cool, cool. Wade, anything for you?
Well, unlike you, I don't get another 2 days off.
You got Friday, Saturday off.
No.
This past weekend? Pretty sure you did.
Friday, Saturday off, but I didn't get 4 days off. Straight.
We're not talking about this next weekend. We talked about what happened last weekend. If anything.
You were coming up to having 4 days off this upcoming weekend.
Yes, I know. And I asked you how last weekend was.
Last weekend was droll.
Droll.
Very good.
Fantastic. Great commentary. Thanks for coming.
Hey, at least didn't use the word boring. God.
Hey, there was a...
significant lack of entertainment.
Yes.
For those who don't subscribe to our green rooms edition,
which would
there
be nobody.
One. Yes.
Yeah.
You would have known where that came from, but you don't, so ha.
We enjoy superfluous wording.
That's right. Yes. An abundance of verbiage.
Wait, or sorry, what? We heard from Wade. Huh? Garrett, yes. How was yours?
Weekend was pretty calm. The weekend passed. Those that follow us on Twitter know that we posted up a picture of new toys. I have built a new computer, and it is now up and running. My first computer build, and I didn't break anything, so
Go me.
That was Saturday. I got the components for that. Sunday, did some assembly. Had the kids Saturday, didn't do too much. Oh, did Taekwondo testing in the morning. That was all fine and good. And
so do you have to test for every level, or can you go in and say, I want to skip 5 levels, test me for that one?
No, you've got to go through the process, because the studio and the parent organization gets a cut from every test, and they want to make sure they get their money.
I was going to say, is this money-making?
The cost involved with each test, along with each month of membership. So they, and for the studio, they've got to pay their bills and stay open and be available. So I get that. But the parent organization that does nothing more than record keeping for them, essentially, don't necessarily see why they need to make so much money on every person testing. But
so somewhere I don't see there the big is picture. A record at some faceless organization somewhere in the country that says that you, sir, are entitled to wear this color belt.
That's correct. So if I were to go to any other studio that's affiliated with the parent corporation or group or entity, whatever you want to call it, and they can cross-reference and verify that I am the rank that I am claiming to be, and I would just pick up at that point rather than starting all over.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Go on.
And then finally, we in our house are not strangers to some of the more exotic pets. We've had snakes, we've had turtles, we've had a bearded dragon. We have birds, and we had ferrets, as and illegal as they are my. To be in California. We had them too. Well, about a month ago, we lost our last one. We think she was older than what was told to us, and came home one day to her being dead. And so we waited a while, and the kid was thinking that she might like rats. And I've had a rat when I was a kid. They were really fun. But she had to come to the conclusion to want that responsibility again. She had a month without, and she was enjoying that. So does the intrigue of having a rat or rats outweigh the calmness of not having the responsibility? Saturday, she decided that she would like to get some rats, and so we've been kind of working towards setting that up. We'll probably pick them up this weekend.
So, I don't know a lot about keeping rats. Do you build complex structures for them? Like, what's the other ones? Like,
hamsters?
Hamsters?
You
with wheels and tunnels and...
So, the issue with all the tunnels is, if the animals defecate one way or the other within those, they're a total pain to clean.
Sure.
So I steer away from that. Now, the exercise or the spinny wheels are highly recommended, as the animals do need their exercise. Rats can actually be prone to obesity if they're able to eat too much and not exercise enough. But we have a pretty nice, it's a double stack cage that we use for the ferrets that should be more than adequate for the rats. It's got some hanging hammocks in there for them. It's got little houses to sleep in and all kinds of stuff. So should be fine.
Interesting.
But yeah, rats get a lot of negative stigma because we associate them with garbage and the sewers and the plague and whatever. But they're actually one of the cleanest rodents you can have, and they spend as much time cleaning as cats do. So from a hygienic standpoint, they're actually pretty close to the top.
Yeah, but I don't like cats either.
Well, I know. The other nice thing about rats is they don't shed, so they're hypoallergenic.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's even the same with pigs. They're actually somewhat hygienic as well.
Yeah, pigs are very clean.
In their enclosures, they will actually
and tasty. Go,
yes,
bacon. They'll go to a certain spot to defecate.
Yep.
Like they'll pick a certain corner.
Rats are the same way. You can litter train a rat.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, which makes cleaning the cage really easy if you keep them to one spot or something you just pull out and clean. So, yeah, we're doing that. Looking to maybe pick some up Friday. I called about 8 pet stores today just to see what their stock was. Since they're not the most popular pet, their availability can be hit or miss.
And did you have success?
I found a couple stores that either have plenty now or definitely are getting some in the next day or so, so we should have no problem.
I'm assuming that this is not a pet that you can go to a shelter and rescue.
You can sometimes.
Unless maybe it's a snake shelter and you're rescuing them from being dinner.
No, although my first rat, that's exactly what my first rat was. They were in the process of taking her to the snake pen to feed her, and my parents beat him to it, only for the pet store to go get the next rat out of the cage and do the same thing. So it's not like anything was really benefited, but yeah.
Well,
but
your rat was extremely thankful.
Yes.
one rat's going, no, okay, good. No.
Yeah. the shelter thing, the issue with the shelter thing is, first of all, rats only live 2 to 3 years. So it's not a long-term commitment. And if someone had it for a year, year and a half, if you go rescue it, you may only have a few months with the rat before it gets old and dies.
Sure.
The other thing, like many pet store pets, you're prone to the puppy farm situation. Irresponsible breeding causing long-term breed or litter health issues.
Which is why I was suggesting rescue rather than pet shop.
Yeah. So I did a search for like reputable rat breeders because there are ratteries in, you know, that are around the people that responsibly breed rats, not for the pure sake of money. And there really aren't any in our area, which is surprising. Some of the ones in San Diego, their websites are expressed that they have no available rats. And I don't know if that was posted in 2012 or 2 days ago.
Sure.
You know, so that sounds like the pet stores, some of the only way. And then you'd like to hope that the pet stores are getting a little bit more responsible with their inventory and their relationships. So
they're not.
They're not, but you'd like to hope in the back of your head.
Oh, we'd all love to hope, but they're not.
Seeing that most pet stores don't, like your PetSmart, Petco, don't really do the whole puppy thing anymore, and the cats that they have are all rescue cats. They're not, like, farm cats.
I hope so, because, you know, there are plenty of pets that need homes that you don't need to be breeding more.
I totally agree, which is why we will be getting two of the same gender to not have that
contribute. Well, you hope of the same gender.
Yes. Well, most of the pet stores only, they will only inventory one gender to A, control their inventory and pass that down the line.
Sure.
So, yeah, that was a really long ramble on rats, but I think they're awesome. They're a great pet for kids. They're resilient. They're smart. They're clean. They're awesome.
Shall we do movies?
Sure. Yep. I was kind of looking away to see if he had anything to say, and he's just kind of staring off into space. So let
critical
us
thinking,
try
fish.
To do movies. So in the movies this week, we have two movies being released that are going to be pretty widely distributed. First one being Tomorrowland, rating at a depressing 59%. This is rated PG with the likes of George Clooney and Hugh Laurie. Many may recognize a name or the face as Dr. House from House MD. Bound by a shared destiny, former boy genius Frank and jaded by disillusionment, and Casey, a bright, optimistic teen bursting with scientific curiosity, embark on a danger-filled mission to unearth the secrets of an enigmatic place somewhere in time and space known only as Tomorrowland. What they must do there changes the world and them forever.
Dun, dun, dun.
Exactly. I'm very curious about this. I got the kid all weekend, so this is a strong likelihood of seeing. We'll see how that goes. Speaking of seeing movies, I had hoped to see Mad Max this past weekend and trying to align times with another movie. It didn't work out. Didn't get seen. Promise broken. I suck.
Aww.
Yeah. Number two.
Hashtag unsubscribe.
Hashtag fail. number two in the movies coming out this week, more down Wade's line, Poltergeist, the remake at 33%, rated PG-13. This is with the likes of Sam Rockwell, who you may recognize as Hammer from Iron Man 2, and Jared Harris, who you might recognize as Moriarty from Sherlock Holmes 2. A family whose suburban home is haunted by evil forces. When the terrifying apparitions escalate their attacks and hold the youngest daughter captive, the family must come together to rescue her before she disappears forever. There's a lot of forevers in this week's movies.
Yawn.
So I think I'm kind of on the lines of Wade on this one, in that don't mess with a good thing.
Yeah.
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Sorry, I was yawning off the side here. I'm like, go see the first one. If it was good enough to try to have it remade.
Some of the clips that they're showing, the scare factor does look there, but I'm afraid the story may fall a little flat compared to the original. Just one man's opinion.
I said it before and I'll say it again. People will be scared of what they don't know. So what are you going to do? Oh, let's just reboot something. I already know what's going on in that house.
No, but some of the effects and some of the factors and some of the makeup and whatever, I'm sure will have a significant effect on people. Ooh. But I just think the story, knowing what we know it is, assuming they don't change it too much, isn't going to be, like you said, isn't going to be anything new.
Unfortunately, I already know how it plays out.
You got a crystal ball or something?
I've already seen the first one. You think?
Okay, so you have to also realize, though, that they're not going to remake the movie line for line, plot by plot. There's going to be some creative licenses and deviations.
Okay.
Otherwise, there's absolutely no point.
Outcome.
Do you? Maybe they change it.
Well, then they're going to get a whole bunch of BS from Orphan.
They did that with Nightmare on Elm Street. They changed a few things.
And they probably got a lot of BS.
They did, but it wasn't the same movie.
But
done
you're
going
to get that from somebody for everything. So
yes.
Make it how you want.
Exactly. In the box office this week, I was a little surprised by this, although upon further thinking, not really. Pitch Perfect 2 at $69.2 million. Mad Max Fury Road at $45.4 million. Avengers in its third week, I believe, at $38.9 million. And Hot Pursuit at $5.7 million. So that's that. Any movie plans for you for the holiday weekend, Brad?
Nope, none.
Nope, not interested. Nope. Count me out.
I don't think there's anything opening that... interests me.
That's fair. All right, and into the news.
First story this week, opening the news. British Columbia doctor says he has developed a bionic lens that will create not only perfect vision, but better than perfect vision. The implant, which gets inserted into your eye by way of needle, which just freaks me the heck out.
Yeah, put me under.
Yeah. Apparently they don't. It's folded up in a saline-filled syringe, and they insert it, and I'm trying not to gross all our listeners out here.
So they jam a needle in your eye filled with a saline
solution,
bionic eye solution.
Yeah.
fill your eyeball up with it.
Yeah, pretty much. So, apparently this is
fan art incoming.
Tumblr.
This is going to revolutionize optics, doing away with glasses, contact lenses, and LASIK.
It very well could, yeah.
Yeah.
What does the FDA think about this?
Well, obviously he has some hurdles to clear with various regulatory agencies.
Think?
But the neat thing about this guy is he's a human rights activist and a philanthropist. Who believes that perfect eyesight should be a human right. He's not looking necessarily to get rich off of this as much as it was a case of he had the money and he had the time and desire, and why do it? Because we can. And so he is, he spent tens of millions of dollars on this, and he set up a foundation called Celebration of Sight, which would donate money to organizations providing eye surgery in developing countries.
Nice.
Yeah. So hopefully this pans out, because this would be cool. You get better than perfect vision.
How does that work, better than perfect? Because I thought perfect could not be...
Right? Well, perfect's perfect. You get better than perfect in the same sense that you get more than 100%, right? In theory, 100% is perfect.
It's okay. Yeah.
But there is a mathematical concept of having greater than 100%. So the way eyesight is measured, and you've probably heard the term 20/20 vision?
Yes.
Okay, so the way that works is the first number is the distance at which you can read a letter. You know the optics chart in the optometrist? You know, it's got the big E on top and the various... Yeah.
Yes, I know. Jeez.
Okay. You're not the only one listening, dude.
Yeah.
No, it's the way you acted and trying to like explain it to me.
Don't get defensive. We're just having a discussion. It's fine.
So the first number, in this case 20, is the distance at which you are... is the distance at which you can read the letter. The second number is the distance at which they estimate you should read the letter. So in this case, 20/20 means you can read from 20 feet, which you should be able to read from 20 feet.
So essentially the eye scale for the 20/20 vision rating is a particular baseline.
Yes.
You know, what that baseline was created whenever they created it.
Yep.
So when you can, everything is still based on that same baseline, but now LASIK and some of those other eye corrective surgeries and treatments are giving people, say, vision at 20/10. And some are.
They're not, they don't make it better than, to my knowledge, they don't make it better than 20/20. Like, once you've reached that.
I've heard people come out of LASIK, and when they go into an eye exam, they are rated at better than 20/20.
Interesting. I had not
heard that. So essentially what that means is they've been able to correct the eye so much that what they think you'd have to be at 10 feet away to read it, you can see better. You could see it at 20 feet. So they
correct.
And now this bionic eye can either mirror that or improve that still.
If my math is correct, it would be 30/10, which would be 20/7, I believe.
Okay.
Or near enough.
Yeah.
6.8593. Anyway. I was going to... Oh, so just for reference, legally blind, I believe it... Hang on, I have it here. Let me... Well, I did
it's like
have
2,500 or something like that, right?
It's 2,200.
Is that all it is? 2,200?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So to be completely legally blind is 2,200. So you can read at 20 feet what you should be able to read from 200 feet.
Yeah.
Legally blind, or sorry, driving blind in most states is 2,040.
Really?
Really.
That sounds very, very tame to me.
Mm. Well,
now, it's important to also realize that we're talking about, I always get these mixed up, nearsighted and farsighted, right? One is you have to be a lot closer to read something than you should, and one is you have to be further away to read something than you should.
Than you should, yes.
So you've got people that are 20/40, and you have other people that are 40/20. It's the same discrepancy, but it's the opposite situation.
Well, no, 40/20 would be 20/10. You would have better than perfect vision.
Okay, but there's a number factor there that it's like 20/20, but the way it's oriented, where you'd have to have something a lot closer to read it than normal, right. Or you'd have to take something further away from your eyes to read it than normal.
And me, that's being the weirdo bifocals. That I am, I have one eye that's each.
Yeah, are you?
Yeah, one eye is farsighted, one eye is nearsighted.
That makes, I mean, I was going to say that makes
shut
sense.
Shut up.
But it really, really doesn't. Yeah, I have an astigmatism in one eye, which means I got a jacked up eyeball.
Oh, I've got that too.
Yeah, I think that's pretty common though.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten an eye exam in years.
Wade's probably legally driving blind with two astigmatisms needing surgery. But he doesn't know that.
Hey, if I'm never tested.
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Ignorance right. is bliss.
I yeah, believe that's what they call bliss, exactly. turning a blind eye.
Oh.
Oh!
That's like turning the other cheek.
No.
But
no.
with an eye.
No. You Sorry. Ruined it.
I know.
So anyway, back to the story.
Oh, yeah, bionics. Let's talk
bionic
about
eye. I think this is cool. I hope it works out. Be interesting to see where this goes regulatory-wise and what the long-term health benefits and effects are.
Well, this isn't the first bionic eye we've talked about either, though.
This is the first one I recall that actually had to do with vision. One we talked about was blood glucose measurement.
No, we talked about one with the blind that it was like glasses that they would like cable into your brain.
Oh, you're
which
right.
would allow the blind to see.
Yes.
But it wasn't so much vision correction. It was actually helping the blind, legitimate blind, to see.
Correct.
But that was, quote-unquote, a bionic eye.
Yep.
But this one's like nanotechnology, which is sweet.
Yeah.
We're all going to be cyborgs in like 25 years.
You know, the way this is going, I'm not sure it's going to be that long.
Yeah, well, that's true. I factored in a few years for regulatory concerns and...
Oh, then it'll
process.
Be 50.
Years?
Yes.
A decade for regulatory services.
That's
yeah.
That's why I said it'd be 50 years. Wade, you've got something for
going
us.
Going on to something that would help you see, and you probably want this help to see, new screens or new screenshots of the World of Warcraft movie have been released. This depicting the...
Hold on. Did you say Warcraft movie?
Yes.
Ooh. Me being not a Warcraft fan, I really don't care.
Yeah, see, it isn't so.
Many people are. Tell us more.
Well, the two screenshots were the depiction of the war chief of the Orcish Horde, Doomhammer, who held the legendary weapon, Doomhammer. Which then was passed down to Thrall and yada, yada, yada. The interesting yet kind of awesome note was what they did with the screenshot is they took the actor, or voice actor, I guess it would be called, was it Robert Kaczynski, and took high-res concept art of the orc, and also put facial scans of the actor onto that.
So it's a hybrid.
Pretty much.
I like that.
So it looks like it's slated for June 2016. It will feature Travis Fimmel. I'm not sure who that is. I'm going through some of the list here. Robert Kaczynski as... indicated playing Orgrim. Let's see. I thought I saw Clancy Brown, who If anyone's an old Highlander fan, he played like the barbarian-esque Highlander. He's also been in the Flash TV show.
Oh, God. He's voicing Doomhammer? No, he's doing Blackhand.
Blackhand. Again, these are all names I don't know at all.
Most of these are like orcish, so.
King Lane Rin, Wurin, something like that. It's a major character, apparently.
Wait, who was doing him?
That is Dominic Cooper, who plays, the Winter Soldier he played Howard Stark in Captain America. Okay, so he's involved.
I saw somebody else
that I thought might be in it, but I think that may have been forecasting, not confirmed.
So let's see, we have Travis Fimmel, who is...
who's in the Viking show. I think he's the main guy in Vikings.
Well, it's about to read who
he's looks playing. Like he's got top billing in the movie, and he will be playing...
Anduin Lothar, okay. Yeah.
So it looks like some serious names that Blizzard and their affiliates are throwing at this.
Ben Foster is Medivh, there we go.
Ben Foster. Oh, he's been in a bunch of crap.
310 to Yuma, Lone Survivor. Oh, yeah,
it's another one. Sorry.
What's that?
Nothing.
Garrett
said he's been in a bunch of crap.
X-Men Last Stand.
Yeah, he was in X-Men. Oh, he played Angel in X-Men Last Stand. But he's been in a bunch of stuff. His face very familiar.
Well, not when it's in orcish form. Wait, and he's playing Anduin Lothar, so he's not going to be an orcish.
He's in Pandorum.
The Mechanic, Inferno, yeah.
All kinds of good stuff coming out.
Woohoo!
So if you're a big Warcraft fan, I'm sure you've been following this pretty close, but it is listed on IMDb. It is a thing. I saw a promotional poster today for June 2016, so keep your eyes peeled on that one.
And if you'd like to... see what the orcish weaponry, specifically Doomhammer, looked for humans during the panel during BlizzCon last year. They actually had a replica of it, and Robert Kaczynski, who was playing Doomhammer, had to pretty much level this thing across his shoulders. And had to rest his arm on the handle to keep it from falling over on the hammerhead side.
Yeah, so he had to counterbalance it because the head was so heavy.
And this thing was massive.
I don't think they always think about proportion video games.
You don't think that?
Yeah.
You know that they stay true to physics always?
No.
This is orcs, so by the way. The guys are just, like, insanely strong.
Yeah. It's a video game with video game physics turned into a movie. So keep your eyes peeled. I wonder if they'll do, a series.
They say it should come out in June of 2016.
So we talked about bionics and technology and all that kind of fun stuff. Amazon is looking to make your shopping experience a voice command away. Amazon currently has a product, a speaker system called Echo, which you can currently interact. It's much like Siri. You can have it wake up. You can have it set reminders for you, play streaming music, look at basic internet queries, and previously add items to a wish list or shopping cart. Well, a new update came out that they are calling Amazon Choice, which now allows you to place orders verbally. Orders could be as simple as reorder toothpaste. What's kind of interesting is that Choice will search through your history and try to find products that you're requesting. So if you've ordered Crest in the past through Amazon, it will find that product, confirm the current price, and then ask if it should follow through with the order. If it doesn't find that you've ever ordered toothpaste through Amazon, it will then suggest a product based on whatever algorithm Amazon uses. That part has been a little shady in what they've divulged. And then it will tell you the current price and ask you if it should proceed. Amazon's did not comment on when Huffington Post inquired further, but apparently their spokeswoman, Kinley Pearsall, told the journal that the decision will be based on user ratings along with shipping speed. So this could potentially cause a problem in that what if a community decides to flood a certain brand or product with negative reviews and ratings, essentially causing it to never come up on Amazon's algorithm because its rating is too low.
Essentially trolling a product into obscurity.
Yes, exactly.
So, this just seems...
It seems one more opportunity for humans to devolve and technology to take over.
Hey,
does Amazon report to the NSA?
Alexa, buy Xbox One.
Yes, exactly.
Sorry, Amazon Echo users. Xbox off. Damn it.
I mean, the speaker thing's cool. The interactive's cool. It seems like it's just a little too easy to get yourself into trouble. What happens if you have this out, people know that you have it, and they start ordering a bunch of crap on your account that starts arriving?
Order blow up doll.
It sounds like there's a confirmation, but is it a verbal one that I can just say, yes, do it now? Or is this there?
The article makes it sound like it's a simple yes, proceed, or no, cancel.
Yeah, I just and
I mean, the concept is cool. I mean, we're getting more and more into the verbal cues and away from actually interacting with the device and whatnot, which, like, I appreciate the technology, but to the point of monetary transactions, is that really the place we should go with this?
So I would like to point out that this technology has once again, as is their way, been predicted beforehand by Star Trek.
I was about to say by Inception.
And I remember watching The Next Generation and thinking how cool it was that the ship had an onboard omnipresent computer system that anytime you wanted to know something, you could just speak to it and it would give you the answers. And this was just awesome. And now it's here. This is just freaky.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Not so into this one now, are you?
I'm not, actually. I guess part of the problem and what we're missing here is in Star Trek, not that it was perfect, but it was part of this semi-utopian environment where everybody helped everybody else and, you know, love, joy, and happiness. And the real world is much less kind. Amazon is out to make a buck. They're not actually in this to help you. They're in this to help you spend. But this is not some kind of benevolent training assistance device. This is to help you spend money.
It's to help you spend money. It's to help them forge better business relationships.
Sure.
Because if you tell it, hey, buy DDR3 RAM, it's going to find whatever one that it decides to find if you've never bought that product before, and will peddle whatever brand you want that it wants, unless you can, you know, refine your search or request.
Sure.
So that's the other thing, is it's making it too easy to buy stuff, but also allowing them to forge some pretty strong relationships as well.
Well, and the other part of it is we know and have talked about on this program how the whole government surveillance Yes. And, you know, this is real, people. It's being worked on. Hopefully it will get better, but at the moment it's not. And we're just inviting more and more avenues for surveillance into our home. You know, between this and Xbox Kinect and the smart TVs that are always listening.
Yes.
We are inviting more and more and more willing surveillance into our homes, and I'm prepared to give them the benefit of the doubt for now. There's a very good possibility that none of this is being used for anything nefarious, and that's good. But that's for now.
Yeah.
Amazon is in this to make money.
Yes.
You know, in fact, all of these companies are in this to make money. So why do we, you know, when their privacy policy specifically states that we can change this at any time with no notice.
Correct.
Or minimal notice. Well, why do we trust them? I trust them as far as I need to do business with them and no further.
Exactly.
And I'm getting off on a tangent.
You are a little bit. You're getting a little little passionate.
You know what? Expressive. I am passionate.
And that's fine.
The thing I always... we get back to the Star Trek reference here. Is that they always say, oh, well, this is... You know, Star Trek predicted this, Star Trek predicted that. But is it really prediction? Or is it someone was inspired by Star Trek...
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
To then... make the thing like that.
Sure. Probably. I'll grant you that one.
Yep. Hey, that was cool. I wonder if I can make it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Someone was sitting on Netflix one day and went,
You don't say. Okay, but look at... You know what? I think you may be onto something there. But look at what we do have. I mean, flip phones, which we have passed.
Still.
You know? We're inspired by Star Trek. We're getting to the age of tricorders where they can just wave a device over you and get your vital signs. You know, we're talking about an omnipresent computer that knows all. I mean, this is freaky and amazing all at once.
What the real kind of creepy thing, I mean, I can see companies doing this, is getting the, I want to say data of people who were, or like say how fast people go through toothpaste. And then it's like, Amazon thinks that you're running low on toothpaste. Would you like to buy toothpaste?
Yeah, then it goes to the next level, right?
And
where does this end?
And it continues, and you're shipped a bi-weekly basis of the... the things that you need?
It auto orders based on estimated.
Well, not auto, but it'd be like, well, our estimates show that people who order broccoli go through this at this particular time. I know broccoli was a complete just pulled out of nowhere, but still,
yep. Make it stop.
So the ecosystem starts at $199. It's been available for a while, but it's a new software update that allows it to order. So if you want voice ordering through Amazon in your home, $199 and it's all yours.
And the opinions expressed here are strictly my own, and maybe you love the idea of having always on ears in your home, in which case order two.
The opinions expressed in this podcast are solely the opinions of its owners and affiliates. Yes. Moving on,
but let's stick with high tech.
Well, it's
actually,
you.
No, let's not. Well, it's still high tech, but it's whatever. We're going to switch to biotech.
Make up your mind!
Jeez.
We're going to switch to biotech because okay, I've got a couple in the queue, and this one is just too cool not to cover.
Okay, sounds good.
A new drug candidate is in the works. It has been animal tested and so far has shown absolutely astounding results. They're hoping to begin human trials, hopefully, soon, that protect against, sit down for this, every strain of HIV so far.
Ooh.
Yes, ooh.
That's pretty sweet.
The drug has been tested effective against HIV-1, HIV-2, SIV, which is the monkey equivalent, and everything else they've been able to throw at it, including what researchers have considered to be the hardest-to-stop variants.
So is this a vaccine to prevent acquiring or treatment to cure already infected host?
As far as I can tell, it's a vaccine to prevent acquirement.
Okay.
Because it specifically states that it worked against doses of HIV that are way higher than would normally be transmitted between humans. So, whatever the avenue of entry for HIV is for you, whether it's intimate relations or accidental needle pricks, which is a very real threat to healthcare workers.
Oh, it's even a threat to like rave goers and stuff like that.
Well, I was keeping it to legal and sane. But yes, you're right. Sharing needles is stupid. Don't do it. But the fact is, people catch it that way.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, there are stories that go around through raves that you'll feel a sharp pain in your arm, and you'll look down, and there's a syringe that says, "You now have HIV. Enjoy."
Yeah. Wow, jerk.
Yes.
So far, this has been extremely effective and completely stopped HIV gaining hold. Obviously, in that case, you get it in your system, right? I mean, somebody just injected you with it.
Yeah.
But it appears that this new vaccine that they're working on has been completely effective at blocking that from taking a hold in your system, in which case it just naturally gets flushed out. So far, the vaccine only lasts 8 months.
Oh, really?
Yes. But they feel that they are well on the way to developing that further, and they hope to develop it to the point where it will last several years. It sounds like this is going to end up being one of those vaccines kind of like tetanus.
Sure.
That you have to go back for on a regular basis every 5 or 10 years, whatever that it ends up with.
Yeah.
But they are very optimistic that they are going to be able to make this work.
That's pretty cool. That's some serious scientific medical advancements there that are only benefit everybody, provided yes. It gets approved and is made available to everybody.
Absolutely.
Obviously, pharmaceutical drug manufacturers are out there too, much like Amazon, make money.
Yes.
And sometimes the good of humanity takes
a secondary podium. Role.
Yes. So hopefully it continues on the path that it's on and it's made available to all.
Agreed.
Yes.
Wade is staring at me very blankly like he needs a 5-hour energy but is not willing to take one at the time that it is now.
There's time in the clock right there.
I know. I was. I know what time it is.
But the time is irrelevant.
Selecting to
land.
Not speak since the time we record this doesn't relate to those listening to it.
Time is irrelevant in podcast land.
Da, 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 da.
Well, speaking of a place where some people may forget time, the new HoloLens, it's being developed by Microsoft, recently got a new acquisition in their creative lead department by the name of Casey Harris. He was actually part of BioWare in the Mass Effect video games. He joined the project, this being HoloLens, when using an early early prototype of the of the HoloLens, stating that he got extremely passionate when he could be sitting in his room having coffee while someone else is basically painting on his walls while using the product, or that a coworker could be sculpting something and that sculpture is sitting on his desk.
It's HoloLens is some really cool tech from the demos I've seen of it. Now, obviously, I haven't actually gotten to play with the hardware. I'm not quite that fortunate, but from the keynotes that have been presented, it looks extremely promising and just brilliant. I'm not sure about this this move, though. Have either of you played Mass Effect?
I've played a little above it and really wasn't my favor, so.
Yeah. I have not.
I started to and gave up about the first 10 minutes in.
I got a little bit further than that.
Okay. And obviously different strokes for different folks. Yeah. This works for some. For me, this is not a positive move. I hope he does well with them. I really do, and I hope it's better than Mass Effect was.
Did you say what his role was involved with Mass
Effect? Creative lead. Lead. Maybe the creative lead for HoloLens. They didn't say what his
role was
for Mass Effect.
Oh, okay.
But apparently it was big enough to actually have his name be recognizable.
So what I like about HoloLens, and I know we've discussed it briefly with all the VR stuff floating around the interwebs today.
But I would like to correct something there before you go on.
It's not truly VR, it's augmented reality.
Yes, it's AR. Yes. Go ahead.
But in reference to the, what's the Valve just is announcing one, you've got the Facebook.
We had the Vibe, the HTC Vibe that's announced for the holiday season this year. Then we have the Oculus Rift, which is earlier next year.
But all these other products shield you from the world around you and have you focus exclusively on the content that they're streaming to you.
Correct, which is true VR.
Which is legitimate. I'd say virtual legitimate. Virtual reality. The closest thing to VR that we can get at this time.
Yes.
With HoloLens, you can interact with someone, say a coworker, while seeing a project in front of you, but because it's augmented, it's like pseudo-transparent, so you can still interact and see the world beyond just that digital portion.
I see this being like a large boost for, really not a large boost, but a help for companies where if there is someone away or multiple people away and they could use this product to sit in an empty boardroom, but then have that projected. You know, oh, the person sitting there.
See, I'm thinking more like on the contractor.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm thinking more like from a contractor looking at,
what too?
Just fresh lot. They haven't started construction of a building yet, but they can look at the three-dimensional HoloLens image of where the building will be and can kind of see the end product. The same as a customer who's having a building constructed. They can then see the building in pseudo real time and real scale.
And from what I've heard and read on this, it seems like not only would it project in the distance, but you would actually be able to walk. Obviously, if it's a two-story building, you're not going to be able to go to the second story. But
yes, that might be problematic.
They can still be and readjust, and here's the second floor, but you're still, didn't go up the stairs.
Right. But in theory, from what I've read and understand, you should be able to then walk through the building. Granted, it's still an empty lot, but the headset would adjust and go with you and re-render as you're moving to create the appearance that you're walking through the building.
Yep.
Now, this begs the question. How is this any different than Google Glass? A face-mounted, augmented reality, feeding you information. How will we not end up with just a different group of glass holes?
That's fair to say. I would hope that cost would be
a deciding factor. I assume this is going to have a fairly hefty price tag without being out of reach for most.
They did state that the production cost for the Oculus Rift would be below $400.
Okay, and if I remember correctly, Google Glass was
$1,500? $1,500, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, that's not really a benefit. I was thinking it should be in the higher than $1,500. Yeah, exactly. So, but $10,000 sounded excessive.
Here's my take on this. And yes, I just set up my own question.
Yes,
My guess is Google Glass attempted to be a concealed product. It was something that you were supposed to wear 24/7, or except when you're asleep, I suppose. So, you know, 18/7.
Sure.
That which is 25 else,
hours a day, but that's fine.
Yeah. In theory, that nobody else knew you were wearing, right? It was supposed to be a for-you-only kind of device.
Kind of a intrusive's not the word, but...
invasive?
Yes.
And piece of tech. I think, honestly, and we've talked about Google Glass before ad nauseum, but I think that's where it failed, right? It was trying to be so low-key that it became high-profile because of the features it could do that were invasive, but it seemed almost voyeuristic.
Yeah.
Right? I want to always take photos, but not have you know that that's what I'm doing. Whereas if you look at the prototypes, and obviously we haven't seen shipping hardware, production hardware yet, but from all appearances, the HoloLens isn't trying to hide. This is a device you're going to use in the company of others with them full well knowing that this is what you're using. It almost seems like it's going for a shared experience kind of thing. The three of us sit around a table and we all put our HoloLenses on and we can work together on a collaborative project. You know, it's not a secret that I'm wearing this.
No, I think the caveat for that mostly is that the HoloLens was basically should be more for entertainment and possibly more business. While, you know, what were you using the Google Glass for? To find out how much stars a restaurant had?
Yeah, I don't really know.
This is something that you're probably not going to take out into the real world unless it's, or in outside the house, unless it's, like Garrett said, for contractors or stuff like that.
The HoloLens is going to have a very specific usage, whether it's a business deal or whether it is entertainment from gaming. But yeah, it's not going to be something you're going to take with you everywhere you go, most likely.
Right.
Versus, yeah, like you said, the Google Glass was... you wear it, it feeds you information based on how you configure it, and it's always there at your beck and call forever.
But it was supposed to be a secret.
Yes, not obvious.
Yeah. So, no, I think this will be better.
So I think that's what the caveat was for that, is that you're not really supposed to go out wearing this at all times.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is that when Google Glass was announced and pseudo-released, it was the only thing out there. There was no competition. It just kind of came out of left field. And hey, look at this cool new tech that nothing else touches it. With Google Glass, you also do have the other VR stuff. And it's starting to look more of a shift instead of one person standing in the back corner going, hey, look at this new toy that I have. It's a whole community that's going in this general direction. HoloLens just does it slightly different than the rest.
My last problem is that we're going to have so many different VR and AR headsets that I think we talked about this in the podcast earlier. We're going to need like those heads for the masks. You know, yeah, one's for mannequin, you know, this heads. Is my Oculus Rift. This is my HoloLens. And this is my, you know, for now, future, and use Google Glass.
So you want a Game of Thrones Hall of Faces for your VR AR headsets?
Heck yeah.
No, well, that's not what I'm saying. So I'm going to be worried that we have that. It's like we're going to need one for, like, because when we'll have this set of stuff. and this one will have this set of stuff, and this one will have this set of stuff. And you go, oh, I need all three of these, but do you really need three damn mats for it?
If you got the money for three different sets, go for it. I applaud you.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, but also I would counter your argument, Wade, with I don't think it's going to be that much different than what we have now, right? I mean, there are obviously exceptions. I will grant that. But current generation consoles, do you have an Xbox, a PlayStation, or both? Most people will have one or the other, not both. Why?
Yes.
There's games exclusive to both, but you tend to pick what interests you more. Do you have an Android phone or an iPhone? Well, you have one or the other, generally not both. Why? Well, you pick the one that has the features and the software that you prefer. And I'm not getting into which is better or which is worse. They're different. They're different for a reason. Pick what works for you. And I think we're going to see the same with this.
Yes.
But you're going to buy a HoloLens, or you're going to buy an Oculus Rift.
Or we do have people... Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine.
But we do have people...
My point was it's an or question.
Well, we will have people who, you know, will want the HoloLens and the... Was the Oculus Rift for entertainment-wise.
Sure.
While they could also use... Well, the HoloLens and whatever Google or someone else decides to for more business use.
The point is, people are going to want multiple things, but the likelihood of them actually owning multiple versions of the same sort of product is unlikely. Like people, like Brad said, when you buy a gaming console or even PC for gaming, PC gamers are very dedicated to PCs and want nothing to do with console. PS3 or PS4 players probably don't have an Xbox and vice versa, even though they all offer different aspects of a gaming industry or usability. People aren't going to say, for the most part, I have everything because I want everything. There are a few out there that have the means and ability, and that's great. But for the most part, people will find the one that appeals to them the most or offers the game or entertainment factor or features that they're looking for, and that's where they'll stick with.
And what remains to be seen out of this is how do they interface?
Okay. Yes.
Does the eyewear itself run the software? I.e., do you load World of Warcraft onto your Oculus Rift and it runs completely standalone just on the eyewear? Or is it coupled to a PC of some kind? And if it's coupled to a PC, then I think the whole argument becomes a lot less relevant because the PC doesn't care what brand monitor you plug in. Whether it's a Vizio or a Dell or a ViewSonic, it just works. And I'm thinking that if these eyewear do become PC coupled, then it's going to be that similar kind of interface. They don't care what kind of headset. They just need to know you have a headset. They'll translate for it and put the images in your eyes. That's my thoughts anyway.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Like you said, that's yet to be seen. So all we can do is speculate on that.
Yeah, but speculation's fun.
It is.
That's a very an odd thought. It's that we have the Oculus Rift coming out, but right now, you're only really available to use it for a control pad. And there are.
We still have no idea.
And there are. There's this device that allows you to put your feet on your. On this. And if you, when you turn using the control pad, that device will move your feet and then swivel your chair. So if you, you know, look around in a game, that will move your key. Your.
So it gives you more of a 4D experience because you're physically moving.
Yeah, but it's realized that if I think people will still want the more precision of what a keyboard and mouse will do. So I'm kind of envisioning like this setup where it connects or clicks on to your chair. That is, you know, one side is the mouse and the other side is your, you know, your WASD and whatnot.
It's all speculation, and we should know more in a few months when these companies start really marketing their product because they want our money.
Yep.
Yes, they do. And but isn't it interesting how much
we don't
conversation
know?
And emotion this evokes? I mean, we've been talking about this for what, 15, 20 minutes?
Something like that.
Oh yeah, maybe I really not quite want that to long,
pretty
things.
Close.
And you know, we want them. This is cool. Well, what does it do? Well, we don't know yet, but we know we want it.
Yes.
Interest yes. is peaked, and yet you don't know what it is. It goes back to that, I don't know what it does, but I want it. It yeah, goes back exactly. to that thing I said back in Poltergeist. I don't know what it is. It's still freaking scary.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, listen, guys, we're a little bit long this episode, but like Brad said, a little passionate. But, hey, let us know what you think about these topics and talk to us. Hit us up on Twitter at AbundanceKnot or Facebook, facebook.com/abundance.knot. We are pretty active and love to hear from you. So let us know what's going on.
Absolutely. Definitely hit us up. Follow us, friend us, like us. Do all that good stuff.
Dislike us. I'm fine with that, too.
Do it now.
Wow. And remember, E3 is in a month.
There you go.
No!
So if you want to lose your life to more media,
E3. So which means we may be seeing the pump out of games with Oculus Rift support.
Okay.
Maybe. Let's would be cool.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yep.
All right, guys. Once again, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.